Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ruth Wallisoff. And we are here with Kate Beckman and Pam Meadows, both from the Port Washington Play Troupe. And we're having a wonderful discussion, and I'm giving it over to Ruth.
Okay. Pam, you are the playwright.
Yes.
And what made you become so interested in the revolutionary time?
Well, I think it really started when I was going to see some performances by a friend, actually a high school friend. Some we were on the yearbook together, the yearbook committee, and she's a wonderful fiddle player. And there were these traditional music concerts that she was doing, and as a matter of fact, I was thinking about them for Play Troupe, and I attended, and I was very struck by the fact that, well, not only is the music engaging and beautiful, and you'll see if you do see this, the lyrics are universal. It's amazing how they touch our souls.
Well, people are the same.
People are the same.
No matter when they were born.
Right. It really does show that. And when I was there sitting in the audience, I noticed that the people listening to the concerts, and they were packed, especially the men, they were not particularly emotional in terms of their face. Nobody was waving
a flag
or anything like that. But they were so engaged that I realized at this one concert, which was in a church basement, that the whole room was resonating, because I looked around and men were with their foot. They were just...
This is radio. That was tapping.
Tapping. Right. I was thinking
and,
of that.
And not the kind that Ruby Keeley does. And you'll all understand that reference. Thank goodness. Yeah, they were just... They could not... They had to respond to it. There's just something... And I said, I need to see this presented in a more theatrical way, with by people who know how to reach out to their audience and really zone in, because not to make fun of them or anything, but people, when they're doing traditional music, they're involved in their instrument, they're involved in their singing.
Right, right.
And they, it isn't really a performance form that's reaching out and grabbing.
And engaging the audience.
Yes, right. That's what musical theater, musical drama people are
experts. Have you
written
other plays?
Yes, I have. Yes, I've done rewrites on plays, and I have several pieces that are straight plays, but I like doing librettos. And so in this case, I was taking the music and putting it together so that I was doing a libretto.
And I'm sure that Kate is a wonderful director.
Yes. Yeah.
I met Pam. She was coordinating auditions, and I was auditioning, and she, of course, knew about Fair Liberty's Call, and I actually started with the piece. She said, would you be interested? She explained it. She didn't approach me as a director. She approached me for the role of the widow Nan Edwards, which is sort of like the Earth Mother.
Uh-huh. Yes.
An Earth Mother.
Yes.
She's the owner of the tavern, and again, a very strong patriot, passionate. She's lost her husband, obviously the name, Widow Edwards. And for her, dramatic conflict is she believes in the patriot cause, and yet she's getting ready to send her only son off to fight for the cause. So there is the conflict within her as well. Kind of a feisty lady, because she keeps everybody in bay, but also a hostess, because she'll welcome the Tory family into the tavern that night. So Pam and I met, and I've done the role of the Widow Edwards, I guess, since we first met back, in
2002.
And for this most recent one, I wrote the grants. I said, let's pursue the idea of re-envisioning it for a chamber piece so more people could see it and to bring more people closer. So I wrote the grants. We got the grants. So I'm also directing it and still going to be the widow and make
gingerbread. Oh, you are going to be both.
Yeah, I'm also going to do the widow, and I also bake gingerbread.
You're going to do
I do the
widow?
Baking for the group too.
You're acting
yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes, I am.
She's
also
even put together some workshops because she's particularly interested
in the, also 18th century
cooking, and so she's done some workshops where she's worked with people in character and made authentic dishes.
We did.
What's an authentic dish, honestly?
When I wrote the press release or my director's notes in the program, it could be shepherd's pie. It could be something called pepper pot. It could be a bumper or a tankard of good ale or
brew.
So
you did research, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely, definitely. And the food, I do what Pam had mentioned. I do holiday baking in the 18th century and how the colonists celebrated the holidays. It's not the Christmas that we know. That didn't happen really until we got into the Victorian
That's
era.
Interesting.
So we did
that.
It's very interesting. In fact, the gingerbread that we just finished baking because we needed as a prop, gingerbread was used, it was sold on the docks for the sailors because it settled their stomach. And they thought it was the treacle, which was molasses. It really is the ginger. And that's the gingerbread was sold because it would help to settle their stomachs before they went out to sea.
The ginger that we use today?
Yeah.
I didn't even know it was utilized then.
My husband's grandmother used to suck on, she lived to a ripe old age of 95, and she used to suck on ginger.
So maybe that's what we should recommend to everybody.
People do drink ginger tea and everything, to settle stomachs.
Right, I realized that, but I thought ginger, honestly, is something that's been like the last 50, 60 years. Not going back to that time.
No, it's really kind of an ancient remedy.
The food being here is part of an education.
Yeah, and the food of the 18th century is really very interesting. That's not what we're here to talk about.
Right.
But for instance, we were just down in Virginia, and we were in Gunston Hall, which is the home of George Mason.
Okay.
And they were talking about the lady of the house. She would, if you saw sugar would come in cones wrapped in blue paper. She kept it locked in a cabinet in her bedroom because it was such a highly prized commodity. So, think about what went on with tea.
Right, ginger and sugar,
those things. So that's one of my interests, and the role of women. It was perfectly acceptable in the 18th century for a woman to be the businesswoman and to own the tavern.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really very interesting. Yeah. So it's a passion of mine as well. The 18th century. You could drop me in colonial.
One quick question on the 18th century: the widow owned the tavern. That's because it was her husband's and he died.
Yeah.
But
was
a woman able to buy one on her own, or she had to inherit it?
Interesting question.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But I think in that case, the woman, because if you go down to Colonial Williamsburg, and you have Christiana Campbell's tavern. It's her tavern. So there were, did research on that.
The trick is to lose your husband and then not remarry.
I'm the only man in this room right now, so I'm not liking where we're going.
But if you remarried, I think your new husband would become his property.
Right.
So the
trick is to inherit the property.
Right, you never remarry.
Those ladies
never should have, because he takes, it's amazing. You have the house, you marry some guy, he gets the house.
Yeah.
And if he puts you out, he puts you out.
And the children are his.
Oh, that's okay. I'm more concerned about the house.
Well, we're very fortunate. We have a fabulous historical consultant by the name of Andrew Batten. And when we first went to do the fully mounted production, Andrew sort of took us through a boot camp for 18th century dress, mannerisms, and so on. And this, Andrew's amazing, absolutely amazing. I mean, the things you've learned, for instance, think of colonial dress for a woman, the sexiest part on a woman was not the décolleté, it was the ankle. If you really wanted to get somebody turned on, show them a little ankle.
In colonial times, they wore low cut all the time.
Yeah.
That's
what we ran around trying. And the other thing for a man, the wealthier you were, the tighter your breeches were. So Andrew said, if you were really wealthy when you got on a horse, you really never got to sit down. You were sort of standing up because your pants were so tight. So these are some of the things. I mean, we've learned all these wonderful things about the colonial period.
And calves, the bigger the calf, that's the sexier.
The anatomy on a man.
It's fascinating.
It really is.
And I'm very excited about seeing the production myself.
Oh, good.
Because I think it'll be fascinating for me. I remember, I keep saying fascinating because it's so fascinating. But I'm really excited about seeing it.
Okay. We hope to bring American history back to life.
Right, right, right.
And recreate an interest and a resurgence in our American history.
Now, actually, I do have a question because we're talking about bringing history back to life. Age appropriateness. You know, the time is 7:30. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. All ages.
Oh, it's okay. It's not, yeah. There's nothing that... Like,
I think you encourage families to come.
Right, that's,
yes.
That's my point.
Oh, yes,
this would
yes.
be family-friendly.
We had one,
right,
of our,
right, yeah.
One of our actors, her sons have been with... How old were they when
yes.
they first started? Were they,
they were
eight?
Like 3 and 6.
Oh, okay, so.
They were.
Oh, okay,
I think they were even younger when we first started it, because
yeah.
they're in their
it.
Early. And she used to sing the lullabies that she sings as a character.
Oh, really?
There's a young wife with an infant, and that's actually the loyalist's wife. And there's a wonderful lullaby that she sings, and her sons would have her sing it to them.
Wow.
When they
okay.
went to,
no, that's why I was just curious.
Yeah,
okay.
Is your cast made up of professional actors?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
We're very fortunate. We have an amazing company.
And everybody's
five of
grown
us,
into
it's
their
a company
part.
Of eight. Five of us have been with the show for quite a while, and then we've welcomed three amazing new actors. And it's also age appropriate, because some of us have aged into our roles, and for others, we've gotten too old for the role, so we've had to cast new people. So.
Okay,
but they're great.
That's
they're great.
Appropriate.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's
right.
more lifelike. You know,
I'm lucky
right.
mine. I can age into mine.
Right. I mean, there's a flirtation between... A young actress and an older man that never, but it's not inappropriate.
Right, no, right,
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 yeah.
right, right.
So there's romance and political intrigue.
It's everything. It's got everything.
And treason too.
Yes, yes.
Oh
and
my!
Yes,
really,
really. Because I mean, you remember what they did to people with treason, and treason was just going against the king. That was where drawing and quartering.
Right, right, right.
Was used because that's a high offense.
Well, to get his freedom, the one Caleb, who is our African American actor, the slave, he is asked to murder the son that we're, you know, coming
wow.
together. So I won't tell you how that ends up, but
right,
that's what he's been given task to do to get his loyalty.
And so. I understand that besides the discussion before the play. There's a question and answer period afterwards?
If time permits, yes. We certainly will be there if people want to ask questions, because we'd like to get feedback, because, again, for the grants that we so generously have received
right.
from Humanities New York and from NISCA and from NYFA, I would like to report back to them, and I'm very interested in feedback from the audience.
And I think the audience is excited about having the opportunity to speak to the creative team.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be fun. Actually, we're out of time. It's July 9th and July 13th
yes.
at the Port Washington Library. At 7 o'clock is the discussion. At 7:30 is the show. We have to take our break now. Ladies, this was wonderful. Pam and Kate, thank you so much.
Thank you so very much.
You're listening to 88.1 FM, WCWP.org. We'll be right back.